Well, I'm delighted that my guest this morning is local GP, Dr. Simon Carruthers. Dr. Carruthers has agreed to come and talk to us on a regular basis, maybe once a month, to talk more about prevention rather than cure. First of all, welcome to Beverley FM, Dr. Carruthers, and just tell us, you know, who you are and where you're based in Beverley, because maybe not everybody has heard of you.
Right, thank you very much, Terry, and thank you very much for asking me to come along to do this today. Yes, as you've said, I'm Dr. Simon Carruthers. I'm a GP at the Old Fire Station practice in Beverley, and it's been my privilege to serve the community for almost 30 years now. As one of my consultant colleagues recently told me, you're part of the GP furniture around here, so I'm well established.
You must tell me what medicine you're on to be looking so young, having been here 30 years.
Ah, prevention, Terry, as we were going to talk about.
So what are we going to talk about today, Dr. Carruthers?
Well, given it's the start of the summer holidays, and for once the sun seems to have blessed us with its presence, I wanted to talk a little bit about skin cancer, how you might recognise it, and then how or what we can do to prevent it.
So what exactly do we mean by skin cancer?
Well, skin cancer is generally caused by damage to the DNA of the skin cells, which is caused by excess exposure to ultraviolet light, particularly UVA, and to a lesser extent UVB. And this, of course, is found in intense sunlight. What happens when the cells are damaged? They proliferate and start to develop as abnormal skin growths. Now, in younger people, these cells, as they develop abnormally, can be recognised by the immune system and stopped in their tracks before they develop into a significant problem. But unfortunately, as we all know, as we age, the efficiency of our immune system to recognise and deal with abnormal cells reduces, allowing skin cancer to develop. And that's why skin cancer becomes more common in older people, although the damage to the cells may have been done many years previously.
So being a little bit thin on top, am I more at risk? Because I would have thought that the sun would have kind of deflected it.
I'm afraid, Terry, that being thin on top, as you say, really does make you more at risk. The top of your head is an area where you get a lot of incident sunlight, and we see an awful lot of patients with a lot of problems in that area. So as I'll talk about a little bit later, if you are a little bit follicularly challenged, shall I say, then you really do need to protect yourself.
That was very delicately put.
Yeah, thank you.
So are there, you know, various types of skin cancer, and what are the most serious ones then?
Okay, well, essentially there are three main types of skin cancer, and they are of varying severity. Two that I want to talk about initially are so-called basal cell carcinoma and squamous cell carcinoma, and these are the so-called non-melanoma skin cancers.
What do we mean by melanoma?
Yes, so the melanoma, and I'll come on to that in a few moments, is by far and away the most serious form of skin cancer.
Right.
And that is the form that we really, really don't want to miss.
Right.
So
yes,
I'll talk about that in a
little while
as to what signs that a patient needs to look out for to make sure that they present early.
Yes.
So non-melanoma skin cancer, firstly, is very common and unfortunately is becoming increasingly so. Since the early 1990s, when I first started in practice, the rates of non-melanoma skin cancer have more than doubled, increasing by about 170%. And the cause for this is clear, really, and that is that the great British population can now fly off to sunny climes at the drop of a hat and fry themselves on the Costa del Sol for a fortnight and then come home again. And this has really only been available to the general population of the UK since the early 1970s. And the people who might have been in their 20s and 30s in the early 1970s are now getting into their 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And they are now starting to present to us with the consequences of having had significantly more sun exposure than their predecessors would have had.
Talking about going to these romantic places where the sun shines very brightly and it's very hot, are there special sun creams? Because I know we go to America and they tell us in Florida that the sun cream that we would use in Europe is not the sort of type of sun cream that would be active in Florida.
The answer to that is no, not really. I mean, essentially what...
It's more of a marketing tool,
yes,
is it?
So what all of us need to be doing is using high-factor sun cream, and a minimum, really, is a cream that's labelled as SPF or sun protection factor 30. Ideally, sun protection factor 50 would be most people should be using, particularly in very sunny places. But also what you need to look out for is the UVA protection.
Right.
UVA actually does more damage than UVB, and UVA is the ultraviolet light which is more likely to provoke skin cancer. So whenever you buy a skin or a sun protection product, you should look at the UVA
factor.
And you're looking for a 5-star factor,
right,
which you will see on the bottle.
I must tell my wife.
Yes, you must, particularly for the solar panel, Terry.
Yes, absolutely. So you were saying there are various types of cancer.
Yeah.
How do you know whether you've got it?
Yes, okay. Well, the first source I just want to talk about is basal cell carcinoma. Now, basal cell carcinoma is, by the standards of cancer, very mild. It usually develops on sun-exposed sites, particularly around the head and neck. Usually people are in their 50s, 60s and 70s and possibly older. It will initially appear as a shiny, pink, sort of dome-shaped lump, often in the area between the nose and the fold between the nose and the cheek is a place that we see it commonly.
Right.
It's very slow growing, so people tend to ignore it, and sometimes they ignore it for a bit too long.
It's so gradual that you don't notice it appearing.
Yes. And people often present as it develops, and it might ulcerate a little bit and bleed a little bit.
I was going to say, does it irritate?
It's usually not painful,
right,
but it can bleed.
Right.
And because it's slow growing, people tend to ignore it. The good news about it is that it doesn't tend to metastasize. It doesn't tend to spread anywhere else.
Right.
So the damage that it causes is due to it slowly enlarging.
Yeah, yeah.
I think people are becoming more aware of these things nowadays, so that they are starting to present, but very occasionally it can be a very late presentation. I remember some years ago being called out to see a very elderly lady in Beverly who had a painful sore on her face. It was on Christmas Eve, actually, which makes it a little bit more poignant.
Mm.
And when I arrived at her house, essentially... there was a large hole in her cheek where a basal cell carcinoma had been allowed to develop over many years, and that was exceptionally difficult for the plastic surgeons to treat and reconstruct. So,
I mean, it's a wonder members of the family hadn't spotted it.
I think, as this very elderly lady, and perhaps she was a little bit isolated.
A bit recluse.
Yes. Mm. However, if it presents early enough... Mm. Then it can be, or basal cell carcinomas can be easily removed. We have one or two other modalities of treatment, but surgical removal is usually the thing, and that is curative.
Yeah, yeah.
So try and bring them in early.
Yes.
Would be my message with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other types are?
Yes, so the other major ones of the non-melanoma skin cancers, the squamous cell carcinoma, and that is a little bit more dangerous. It can spread. So we need to diagnose it earlier. The clues really are a lump developing quite rapidly, often again on the head and neck, but sometimes on the lower legs or the arms or the backs of the hands. And the difference between that and basal cell carcinoma is the speed with which it develops.
Right.
And also it tends to be symptomatic. So it tends to be tender.
Are these hereditary at all then?
Generally, there are one or two hereditary syndromes in which you can get lots of basal cell carcinomas, but usually these are caused by exposure to sunlight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And excess exposure to sunlight.
Yeah. So, can you tell us about melanoma? Because this is a word that we hear a lot about.
Yes.
It's about the only word I can pronounce. I'd never make a doctor, you know.
It comes with practice, Terry, honestly. melanoma. Now, this is by far and away the most serious form of skin cancer. The rates of melanoma, sadly, have doubled since the 1990s, and there are now about 17,000 new cases per year in the UK.
Right.
And the rates are definitely increasing. I've seen a few in just my practice in the last few months.
Right.
So it's something that we do have to take very seriously indeed. Again, the most cases occur in older people, but unfortunately they can occur in younger people as well. So young people need to be vigilant.
Yep.
It can occur in people who are in their 20s and 30s, particularly young women, where the lower leg is a common sight. And the greatest risk is if you are fair-skinned, particularly with red hair. And other risk factors, if you have lots of moles, so more than 100 moles seems to
These are always a worry, aren't
risk.
They?
Yes. Mm. And there's a genetic element as well with melanoma. So if you have a first-degree relative who's been affected, so mother, father, brother, sister, then you are at greater risk yourself.
Right.
So you need to be extra cautious.
I mean, moles and melanoma, people with moles, I'm sure that they get rather concerned that it could turn into melanoma.
Yes, yes. Most melanomas actually arise out of the blue, not out of previous long-standing moles.
Yeah.
However, if you do see that a mole of yours is changing, do not think that it might be benign. I think one of the most important messages that I want to sort of convey today is go and see your GP about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we would much rather see things early,
particularly
melanoma, than later. Because if you catch these things early, they can be cured.
It was interesting that you were saying that there's been such an upsurge in the number that are suffering from this now. So the common phrase of climate change comes into most conversations. Is this part of it?
It might be.
I mean, they're not all flying off to Spain and these places, are they?
It might be.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of debate about that.
Right.
But of course, the majority of people who are presenting at the moment with the skin cancers, climate change, when they did the damage to themselves, was probably a thing, but not such a big thing.
Right.
It may well be that with increased sunlight intensity and global warming, etc., that the rate of increase...
We're going to be more exposed.
Goes up.
Yes. Yeah.
So it is something that we, in the health service, really do need to worry about, because it's getting to the point now where the incidence of new cases is almost at that level where we're not able to cope with it, actually.
Yeah. So early diagnosis and spotting it will save, obviously, the NHS a lot of money and also is beneficial to the patient.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's actually the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if melanoma is left to develop, it will metastasize, and metastatic disease can kill you.
Right.
So later stages of melanoma have about a 15% 10-year mortality associated with them.
Right.
So we really do need to get in there early. So I would say if you have a mole, particularly a new mole, which is changing colour, getting bigger, bleeding, itching or crusting, then go and see your GP, please.
That's good advice.
Okay. We really, really don't mind.
No. Good, excellent.
Okay.
So we'll conclude our little chat for this time. I hope you'll come back in about a month's time. What are your take-home messages then?
Right. Well, I think what we need to be doing is protecting ourselves properly.
Yes.
Okay, number one. And by properly, I mean using adequate sun protection. As I've already said, factor 30 minimum, factor 50 preferably. Particularly in fair-skinned individuals.
Yeah.
The other important message is to use enough of the sun cream.
Right.
Okay, so as a rough rule of thumb, for head, neck and shoulders, approximately 2 teaspoons worth of cream is probably enough.
Right.
And for the rest of you, 2 tablespoons worth. Now, I can virtually guarantee, because I'm not sure I do it myself, that most people will not use that much.
Well, you see, you go to the beach and you put it on, and then you go in the sea, and then you lie in the sun, and presumably it's not effective because you've washed it off.
Absolutely correct.
So how often should we...
You should be putting it on every 2 hours.
Every 2 hours, right.
Whether you've been in the sea or not, okay?
That's interesting.
And remember to put it on all of you.
Yeah.
Particularly a place that I always miss. My wife shouts at me for missing this, the tops of your feet.
Really?
So whether you've got... sandals on or whatever, take them off and make sure that the tops of your feet are protected.
Right.
Chaps such as yourself, Terry, must remember the top of your head as well. And even...
My wife's always telling me to wear a hat now.
Yes, ideally wear a hat. And if you're a bit thinning on top, then remember to put some sun cream where the parting is as well.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so that's really, really important.
Because you don't realise, I mean, even on a cloudy day, there is the ultraviolet in the atmosphere, isn't there?
Yes.
I've noticed when I've been in the garden, it's quite a dull day, and I've come in and my forehead's been really red and sunburned, for want of a better word. And you don't realise when you're being caught, so even a little bit of gardening, it's not just the beach, you need to be putting your suntan lotion on.
Absolutely, and UVA still penetrates through the clouds, and as I've already said, UVA is the most damaging ultraviolet light.
So does UVA penetrate through my hat? Because I'm sure it does.
It shouldn't do. It depends on your hat.
Probably if it's a straw hat, it might.
Yes, it might do. So a good way of just simply telling is the sunlight likely to penetrate through this clothing or this hat is to hold it up to the sunlight. And if you can see light coming through it, then the light is going to get through
right.
it.
Right. That's a good check there. Yes, yeah.
Okay. But and I think one other sort of major thing, particularly with regards to melanoma, of all the messages, I think this is probably the most important.
Sure.
What we know is that for basal cell carcinoma and squamous cell carcinoma, it's chronic sun exposure that tends to lead to those diagnoses. So that is gardeners, cyclists, farmers, people work outside who are out in it every day. With melanoma, it seems to be short episodes of intense sun exposure with burning.
Right.
So if you have 10 episodes in 10 consecutive years of significant sunburn, you give yourself about a 3 times greater risk of developing melanoma.
So putting that into context, if you're an office worker, and then at the weekend you suddenly expose yourself to the sun, you're a lot more at risk than, say, a farmer who's in the open air all
absolutely
day.
Absolutely correct, if you burn yourself.
Yeah.
So that, of course, is the typical pattern of the average Brit, works in an office, goes to the Costa del Sol, lies in the sun, gets sunburned, goes home again, goes back the following year and the following and the year and the following year. But even more important than that is sunburn in childhood is a significant risk factor. So protect your children.
Do you know, I remember when we were very young, I've got brothers who are twins, we went to Western Supermare where there are sun dunes, and it was so hot that year, it blistered our skins.
Yes.
And that was before all the, I mean, we're going back a long time, obviously. But that is the risk that you take, and that's the damage that can be done.
Yes. So I would say that all children need to have high factor sun cream on, reapplied regularly, and ideally the sun protection clothes if you're down at the beach, hats, etc. Really, really important, because otherwise you're potentially storing up very serious problems for the future.
Right. Okay. You're beginning to frighten me.
Sorry, Terry. The Western Supermare and being sunburned is. So I don't want to be the joy police here. I don't want to kind of hoover yet something else out of somebody's life. But I think the message is be sensible.
Yes.
Be sensible. Protect yourself. Protect yourself in the UK, particularly between April and September. Use enough sunscreen. Apply it frequently and protect your children. And have a great holiday.
That's fantastic advice. Thank you ever so much, Dr. Simon Caruthers, from the old fire station surgery here in Beverley. And you promise you'll come in again in a few weeks' time and give us a little bit more information about other prevention. And maybe next time we could talk about diabetes.
Yes, okay, I'm happy to do so.
Because I think a lot of people are either on the verge of being diabetic or are diabetic, and there are things that can be done to minimise the risk. Well, thank you very, very much for being my guest this morning. I'm extremely grateful to you. I hope you've enjoyed it as well.
Thank you very much, Terry. I genuinely really enjoyed that, and I look forward to coming back again.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.
All right, thank you.